Hello and welcome to another edition of the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Show. I'm here with my co-host Jeffrey Dooley. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, Nick. Good to be back again.
Good to have you. And today we are going to continue our discussion about Baroque music and what offerings we have on Lyricord in Baroque. Well, now we're going to move on to Heinrich Ignaz Bieber, who was born in 1644 and died in 1704. And we're going to hear some of his Mensa Sonora. Jeffrey?
Yes, these are sonatas for strings, and Bieber was a virtuoso violinist, primarily. So he wrote church music with solo violin parts. I performed the American premiere of it.
Really?
His
Requiem.
Mm-hmm. In Carnegie Hall many years ago.
Wow.
But he was a virtuoso violinist, and he's a 17th century composer, so he has all the sense of a new thing happening, like Purcell.
Mm-hmm.
Purcell was born in 1659 and died at a young age in 1695.
Mm-hmm.
But Bieber branched across his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So the 17th century music is when the most experimentation takes place.
Mm-hmm.
That led into the high Baroque. It's always daring, like Purcell, daring harmonies and expression like Monteverdi. So this is our string pieces. Interesting thing about it that you'll notice is that the harpsichord is not only playing just chords. With the right hand of the harpsichord, he doubles the violin part,
yes,
the string
right.
part. And I don't know much about it, but it's unusual for
yes,
the harpsichord
is
to what's called colaparte, with parts, doubling the part together. But it's very effective here, especially in fugal sections.
Mm-hmm.
He will join with the right hand the beginning of the fugues that begin in the violin part
right.
and continue playing colaparte, and eventually he's playing chords to accompany when the whole full string body comes in.
It's funny because it's a kind of voicing that you usually only hear now in synthesizer pieces.
That's right.
Pieces.
Yes, exactly.
You can add it to...
So
this is Heinrich Ignaz Franz Bieber. We'll tell you what we're playing after the fact, but it's all from Mensa Sonora by La Folia Salzburg. We just heard the entire Arian 4, the first suite on the album. It's in five movements of the album entitled Mensa Sonora by Heinrich Bieber, performed by La Folia Salzburg. And Jeffrey, what did you want to say about that?
Well, it's an example of a suite of dance movements. And a suite simply means a collection of dance movements. Mm-hmm. And there's no set pattern. A composer can write a suite, but the performer can select number of movements and put them together as a suite. Mm-hmm. But it usually follows a pattern of dance movements. As we have here, we have Allegro, Allemande, Amorosa, a jig, and a sinfonia. And typical of 17th century, it has interesting harmonies and interesting and expressive chord progressions. Mm-hmm. And it's period instruments, mm-hmm. which gives its own particular wonderful, sweet, windy sound.
Right. So, Jeffrey, what should we listen to now?
I thought it would be interesting for your listeners to hear how he treats the charcon, which is like the ground bass, the mm-hmm. charcon, the passacaglia, even the canon can be described as a repeated bass line over which the composer composes beautiful lines. Mm-hmm. Probably the most famous one is Pachelbel's Canon,
right,
which became a hit piece back in the 70s.
Well, don't get that in my head.
So I felt we would hear two of them as a contrast. First one is the Chiconia from Pars 3, and the other one I thought would be interesting is the Lamenti from the Balletti Lamentabili A4.
Aha, all right. Well, let's give them a listen.
Very good.
Thank you. such a luscious sound.
Very luscious. Yeah. And I think it's important to mention about the style and playing on Baroque instruments or period instruments. You'll notice very little vibrato is used.
Mm-hmm.
And vibrato is something that was considered an ornament mm-hmm. at the time. It was used quite a bit, but it was not the way the late 19th, early 20th century style of string playing or any mm-hmm. music-making instrument or singers. You start the first note to the end on vibrato, therefore robbing the effect of the vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hear vibrato played in these pieces on original instruments, when vibrato is added, it means something.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that early music has no vibrato. That's an old cliche. And people often think, well, if there's no vibrato, it's not expressive. But the Baroque violin is expressive through the way the bowing is done,
mm-hmm.
the sighing quality.
Right.
On the other hand, though, the organs of the time often have what's called a vox humana stop, which is a reed pipe. The wind chest fans back and forth.
Mm.
So if that's called the vox humana stop and it has a vibrato, mm-hmm. it does tell you that vibrato was used then. But it wasn't used as a continuous sound all the way through.
Right.
And even today, singers tend, even in big, large works like Verdi's Requiem or opera quartets, when do you actually hear the music?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have some really, really sensitive performers. My favorite performance of the Verdi Requiem is with Janet Baker and Leontine Price in the quartet. I don't remember who the other two are.
Mm-hmm.
Where they make music in this quartet.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's vibrato. But it's not four singers standing there with different levels of wobble.
Right.
So the Baroque strings, it's the thrill to sing with Baroque instruments
mm-hmm.
because it's so close to the vocal style.
Right.
As this really shows in these deeper pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They could be sung.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break and then we can come back and play some more, okay?
Very good.
Lyricord presents one of the finest sopranos in the world today, Elizabeth Futrelle, in her first solo recording of Bach's solo cantatas. Mary Singer of Opera News declares that she is blessed with a shapely coloratura soprano and a rare combination of vocal and dramatic ability. Edward Rothstein of the New York Times calls Futrelle's singing refined and accurate, hitting her high notes without strain or artifice, giving her vocal acrobatics warmth without ever succumbing to egoism. Stephen Eddins, All Music Guide, review of this recording praises Futrelle's warm, colorful voice that's at its best in the music's broadly lyrical passages and in the recitatives which she brings excitingly to life with supple expressiveness, while conductor J. Riley Lewis leads the Washington Bach Concert, a period instrument ensemble in bright, lively performances with a good sense of presence. Be sure to add this sublime Lyricord recording to your download or CD collection today.
Jeffrey Dooley, you've had a long, extensive career as a countertenor. I understand you give master classes, too.
Yes, I do, and probably my favorite way of teaching is working with singers in Baroque interpretation and also how to improvise cadenzas. And I also teach English pronunciation for foreign students and business people, both in classroom settings and for private students as well. And I also lecture and serve on panels, that kind of thing.
Well, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me through my manager, Melody Bunting International is the name of the organization, 155 West 72nd Street, room 604, New York, New York, 10023. And the website is www.melodybunting.com.
And the phone number?
212-799-4949.
Do you have an email address?
JeffreyMDooley@gmail.com.
I'm back here talking with Jeffrey Dooley on the Lyricord Early and Classical Music Podcast. So, Jeffrey, I thought we would now go over to France and listen to two composers.
Yes,
The two composers we're going to hear are Louis-Nicolas Clairembeau And Jean-Baptiste Stuck, born in 1680 and died in 1755 and published under the name of Battiston. And Clarimbaud's dates are 1767 through 1740.
Right, straight through.
And these are from an album called Baroque Cantatas at Versailles. And the two soloists are Dana Fortunato is the mezzo-soprano and John Ostendorf is the bass baritone. And this was a project that was originally on another label in the 80s. It was recorded at Merkin Concert Hall right when John Ostendorf was really at the peak of his singing powers.
It definitely and, was, yeah.
It had always been a favorite album of his, and he actually arranged for it to come out on Lyricord. And I'm very glad he did, because it's the Brewer Baroque Ensemble, Ed Brewer, the harpsichord, and Rudolf Palmer is the conductor. And several of your friends also are performing on
yes,
here, right, Jeffrey?
Everybody is on here. I've worked with everybody. And again, here's Ed again. We find him on so many recordings mm-hmm. because he is the finest continual player in New York.
Uh-huh.
But all the players are still playing today. All the
yep.
players are.
Mm-hmm.
And Rudy has conducted a lot of recordings on other labels mm-hmm. with John Ostendorf. He did a series of Handel operas.
Right.
Also recorded at Merkin, and Rudy conducting. He was a student at Horace Mann. Rudy was a student
mm-hmm.
at Horace Mann. And
right.
I've taught up there, and so has John taught there.
Right.
It was much too early in the morning.
Right. And too far north.
Yes.
Jeffrey, what do we say about these two composers who are not exactly household names?
Well, Clarimbaud is a little more well-known
mm-hmm.
because he was an organist.
Right.
So the French organists are unique, the style of their playing and their music. I'm not that familiar with the other composer,
mm-hmm.
but French chamber cantatas were a particular form that was popular with Louis XIV,
mm-hmm.
17th century style into the 18th, but it was this little world of these particular cantatas that were performed with a small ensemble. And each piece is, by our standards, they're a little bit more challenging, but for that period, these are considered fairly short works to please the listener, and they're full of interesting, uniquely French styles. For example, you'll hear sometimes in the obbligato part, it will be several instruments playing in unison, like maybe a flute and a violin and an oboe will all be playing in unison,
mm-hmm.
which is unique, I think, to French music.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the way the recitative is treated is different than recitative on the continent or in English, in England, rather.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find, instead of it simply being sung speech, there'll be a movement in the bass line where it's for a moment or two in arioso. I guess you could compare that to Purcell, as we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Purcell's recitatives are sort of quasi-recitative.
Right.
There'll be a moment of movement and then a secco style. But in this, the recitatives show the drama, as they do in other musics of the period.
Mm-hmm.
But here they're more similar to the arias in that they have a lot of dramatic gesture in them, and it's reflected in the movement of the bass lines and things like that. We'll bring out the meaning of the words. They have a unique French sound. They're short phrases, often ending in a trill, and simple rhythmic things. The kings liked simple.
Right.
And there'll be a moment of chaconne here and there, which was the beloved thing. And each character is clearly delineated, and I must say John's delivery of this music is really wonderful, especially since he's a baritone. He's singing the way higher voices sing, in that he can move the fast passages with his throat rather
mm-hmm.
than from the diaphragm. When you think of bass baritones doing fast passage work, it's very stentorian normally.
Mm-hmm.
But this music is more decorative, and he'll add, you can hear that he's adding ornamentations. But he moves from the throat, and you'll hear this. So it's a very clear ornamentation. Also, both of them have a beautiful sense of color, changing color for the various meanings of the words.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps what I should do before we begin is just give you a general overview of what the first one means.
All right.
I'm just going to give the English.
Okay.
So the first one is a more classical Latin story. The sun conqueror of the clouds.
Ah.
And it begins with the baritone, and he has a recitative and an air following it. And the recitative is unusual in that it has some moving parts in the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just going to read you the text of this so that your listeners can hear some of the reflection in the music itself. So he says, "The Persians assembled on their vast plains, sunrise gilding the mountains. They awaited a glorious day. Their eyes already enjoyed the fruits of its presence. They blessed the moment of the sun's birth, and their hearts expressed their love with their songs." And then there's an aria following it. "Pursue your brilliant course. Reign, divine sun, reign over mortals. The blessings spread by your light. Raise altars to you in every heart. It is but little to illuminate the world. Your kind, glorious course is an abundant source of a thousand precious treasures." So this is typical music to please the king.
Mm.
Everything in the end is to please the king.
Sure. All right, let's give a listen to Louis-Nicolas Clairambault's
Jeffrey.
Le soleil vainqueur de nuages. The sun, conqueror of the clouds.
Very good. We'll listen to the first three movements.
Et bien que Thank you.
Louis-Nicolas Clérambault's The Sun Conqueror of the Clouds is the English translation. The first three movements performed by John Ostendorf, the bass baritone, and Rudolf Palmer was the conductor. Breuer Baroque Ensemble. Boy, that really was John singing up a storm.
Yeah, it's really great. And the prelude sets off the story that's to follow,
right,
with the dotted rhythms and the strength, because mm-hmm. it's all very strong. And also, interesting in this one, too, is when the recitative begins, it isn't always only just secco chords. Sometimes the bass will take over.
Mm-hmm.
And the aria is typical of French music in that you have what's called the double dot, and you hear a lot of trillas at the end of phrases, which is unique to the French style. And the Baroque flute fits so perfectly with sound, because the Baroque flute, the wooden flute, and the gut-strung violin blend together.
Mm-hmm.
And often they do play a phrase in unison, and John's inflection in French is very good,
yep.
And you heard him adding some ornamentation based on the style. So he shows you this whole thing about your kind, glorious course is an abundant source of 1,000 priceless treasures, typical of these cantatas to entertain the king.
Mm-hmm. Particularly in the third movement there, in the air, there's a kind of a dramatic sweep that put me in mind a little bit, actually, of the Dufli harpsichord recordings. But it's almost a Beethoven sense of drama.
So the bass goes up, a quick scale up. And the text, of course, is very strong here.
Mm-hmm.
Halt, dreadful deities, the rigor of your blows. Restore us to this revered object, which alone produces our dearest assets. Would you punish us for our crimes? Let these mountains overturn on us. Open the abyss of the earth. Strike. We offer you your victims. Vent your wrath on us. So that's all taken care of with the bass playing.
Well, the next piece on the album is another cantata by Battistin, who is also actually named Jean-Baptiste Stuck, 1680-1755. This has both Dana Fortunato and John Ostendorf.
Yes, and so this has the two characters, Hercolite and Democrite. And it's rather allegorical, and it opens with a rather tragic recitative in a way. It's talking about sadness, and then the following aria is a great lament. And then it's followed by the recitative drinking song.
Mm. Well, we don't actually have time to play the entire cantata, so we'll have to pick and choose a little bit. I would like very much to hear...
We want to get them together, don't we?
Right.
So why don't we go to the duet, number 7, then?
Good.
Ne pourra qu'est-ce que j'ai de venir, ne pourra qu'est-ce que j'ai de venir,
Beautiful.
Wonderful. So you can hear the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a laughing style in Democritus' entrance. Mm-hmm. So let me just give you the text, because it's a wonderful combination. They're sort of an opposite.
Mm-hmm.
First, she sings, "I perish beneath your yoke, living grief, martyrdom." And he says, "For me, the whole crazy lot of mankind is nothing but as good an excuse to laugh. Ha!"
Well, you know what, Jeffrey? We didn't do any Bach on a Baroque series of shows, so I think we're going to have to do a whole other series of shows
about Bach.
Johann Sebastian Bach. And I guess that will wrap it up for parts one, two, and part three the Baroque. We've covered a lot of ground.
I think we've really heard a wide variety of styles, the sort of graduation from Monteverdi, Purcell, mm-hmm. into Handel, this sort of moving back and forth, a cross-section of the expression of the Baroque era.
Right, right, with an emphasis on expression, I'd say,
yes,
too.
Yes, definitely.
All right, very good. Well, we'll see you next time, and that's going to be it for today.
Thank you so much.
This program copyright 2010, Lyricord Discs, all rights reserved.